We're about 30 days, just a little bit more. The Red Horse Rider is going to show up. The Red Horse Rider is going to attack. And the White Horse Rider is already there, and it's a battle. And it is a nasty battle, in fact. The battle is fierce. The Western president of the revived Roman Empire will defeat Gog and his army there in that valley of Jezreel. The bloodshed will be great. And it will, in fact, it will be so great that it will take 7 months for the birds and the beast and the critters of the field to clean up and eat all the blood and all the flesh that is left there. It will take 7 months for the inhabitants of Israel to bury all the bones, the scripture tells us. In fact, the sheer magnitude of the forces that have arrived and what they have brought with them will be so, and what's left behind whenever the Reds are destroyed is so great that Israel could use those resources to fuel their energy needs for 7 years if needed. Well, 7 years, there's not even 7 years left in the tribulation time. But there's enough fuel, there's enough gas, there's enough oil, there's enough nuclear stuff that's there. Every type of things that could be brought in with ammunition and everything else that's brought in for that battle, there's enough left over to fuel Israel's energy and strength needs for another 7 years if needed. Well, guess what happens? The Black Horse Rider shows up. The Black Horse Rider shows up with a set of scales in his hands. Oh, the whole economic system of Israel will be in shambles. And here's what's going to happen. They may have energy sources. They may be able to fuel their generators and their reactors and everything, but they have no food. Remember, the food got eaten. And no one wants to sell food to them. Nothing has changed in this. Israel is still the hated nation of the world. In fact, a man could work all day to earn enough money to provide for himself one day's meal. If the man happened to have a family of four, he would have to work 4 days to provide the food for his family for one day. Now, that's not very good economics there. That means you're going to have to go out and work 4 days just to feed your family one day. Now, that is all that part about what a cost of barley is and the cost of wheat and the cost of oil and those things that's in those scriptures. That's what it boils down to. Remember, I'm telling you a summary and a harmony of what these scriptures tell us. Well, the president, the beast of the revived Roman Empire, has kept his promise to Israel. He has kept his promise to protect her from all other enemies, but that will be the end of what he will honor in the peace treaty. And in fact, he will not leave Israel. He doesn't want to leave Israel. He's there. Rather, he will turn to Jerusalem and he will inhabit the city. And when he comes into the city, the inhabitants of the city will begin to flee for their lives. In fact, the scriptures tell us that so many leave the city that there are only 70,000 people left in the city after he comes into the city. There, the president will take the temple. He takes the temple there in Jerusalem as his own, and he makes it his home, and he makes it his throne, and he will break the treaty at that point. There we are. He has broken the treaty right here as we're coming up on the middle of the tribulation time. What will he do in the temple? What he does is an abomination. What he does is an abomination. In fact, let me just pause here for a minute and I'll tell you what he does. He takes down all the articles of the temple and he sets himself up as God in the temple. That he is to be worshipped over any other god. At that time, war will break out in the heavens. Revelation 12, 13, Daniel 7, and Matthew 24. As Satan and his demons rebel in heaven, they have been in heaven accusing the brethren ever since Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. It will now be time for him to be removed permanently from the presence of God. He has always had the ability to go to and from earth to heaven, Satan has, and his demons, to stand there at the throne when somebody important got there to accuse them that they are not worthy to be in God's heavens. Now, you see, I thought Satan fell in the beginning. He fell from his place of power. He fell from his place of rulership. He fell from that which he had dominion over him, over, because he was the chief of the archangels. He was the top one right next to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to be a God too. But he is not cast out of heaven at all until this point in the story. He'll be cast out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation time and will not be able to go back. The Michael, Archangel Michael, by the way, with his host of other angels, will fight a vicious battle with Satan and the demons and will cast them out of heaven and down to earth. Where once Satan and the demons are here, they will begin to pursue the Israeli people with a vengeance, and all of Israel's offsprings, and all of the believing Gentiles that have come to know the Lord during the time of the tribulation. At that point in time, also, the false prophet of the great apostasy will have a statue made of this supreme president. And that statue, he will order everyone to look at that statue and to worship that statue, as well as the president, the beast, as God. That statue is very interesting because almost miraculously, the image will be able to speak and to kill. Now, 15 years ago, that would still be far-fetched for most of us. But have you seen the robots, the robot soldiers they now have? The robot soldiers, the soldiers, they have legs and they have arms and chest and everything. They don't have any heads, but they're loaded with guns and everything. They've got power packs in them. They've got sensors, and they can go out to kill and to destroy. Now listen, it is nothing to make a robot or a computer talk. You got that? This idol statue that's going to be made will have the ability to talk and respond, but it'll also have the ability to kill. 15 years ago, that seemed far-fetched to me. It is no longer far-fetched for me, to me at all. Fact, for these robot soldiers they have, they also have dogs to go in and sniff out and bring out bombs and things like that. Robot dogs. I sat there and watched the TV in amazement, thinking, now these preachers that preach that the signs of the times are all over, they're not even looking at the right stuff, because those robots is part of the right stuff. the details to fulfill the big picture items. Oh, those preachers know about the big picture items, but they don't know about the details. And I look at this stuff in amazement about these details. You've heard one of them. It's not in the lesson. I need to work it back in because I've missed it already. I should have put it in the part one. When we get to part three, I'll bring it back in. No, actually, it comes in part four. I'm sorry. But the deal about Nineveh. 612 BC, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Nineveh. But one of the major prophecies is that the town of Nineveh has risen from the ground and has become one of the major capitals of that region again. It has been lying in ruins since the day Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. And now a community that started a little community off to the west of it has now built up all the way around the ruins of Nineveh. And it is now a great city called Mosul that you hear. And it is not quite a capital city yet, but believe me, it probably will be. And here's the reason why. A year and a half ago, there were hundreds of thousands of Christians in the city of Mosul. And today, there is not one. They have been run out by the Islamic radical forces. You can't tell me that it will not be long before that town of Mosul will be one of the strongest radical forces for the great apostasy religion. Why is that important? Because when the Lord breaks through I'm getting ahead of myself. When the Lord breaks through the eastern skies to come for the Battle of Armageddon, he destroys three areas before he hits Armageddon. And Nineveh, the rebuilt Nineveh, is one of those areas. Now you're going to have to come back to find out what all that means, aren't you? Well, here we go. In addition, once this statue is in place, this false prophet makes the proclamation that if you want to buy, sell, trade, invest in anything that is under the control of the 10-nation empire and the supreme beast, you have to pledge your loyalty to that beast by taking upon yourself the mark of 666 on your head or in your forehead. Thank goodness there's none of us in this room that have to worry about that. Not one of us. As long as you know the Lord is your Savior. Because if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not going to make this great exit. So if you need to know the Lord as your Savior, you need to get that done today. Because if you happen to live and we all get snatched away tonight, maybe this afternoon, and we go into the tribulation time, when you get then 3.5 years into that, you got to worry about this 666. They can't say they didn't know about it. It's written in every Bible that we have. They'll know about it, and you'll know about it. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, believe me, you'll probably get saved as soon as you realize that all your buddies that were Christians, and you were just play-liking being a Christian. You were possuming being a Christian. Possuming, that means to sleep, right? You're play-like being a Christian. Don't be play-liking, all right? Well, false prophet of the apostasy is going to require you to take that mark. If you do not have that mark, no trade. So many tribulation saints will be dying in the event of the coming of the red horse and the abomination and the death by starvation, and those who have accepted the Lord as their Savior since the snatching away of the church, they will all be martyred. So many will have died during that first 1260 days that the Lord tells us what an angel is going to say. The angel has his line written for him. It is written back 2,000 years ago for him to be ready to present. How would you like to be an angel that has one line that you got to ask, and then you're so nervous you don't get it right? Did any of y'all ever do that? Were you in a play in high school or junior high? You had one sentence and you messed it up. This angel has one sentence. The sentence is this: how long will it be until the end of these wonders? How long until all this stuff is going on? Of course, we're going to find out a little later. We're going to revisit when that question is going to be asked another way by the souls that are underneath the altar that have died that he's talking about. Well, here we go. He says, the Lord will respond to that angel by saying this: for times, time, times, and half a time, or 3 1/2 years, or 1,260 days. We know exactly where we are in the story of the tribulation and the great tribulation because he just told us. How long until this is going to be over? We got 3 1/2 more years before it'll be over. However, 1,290 days will actually remain because we're about 30 days out from it when that is told to the angel. But the Lord will give a wonderful promise at the very same time that he gives this deal about the 1,290 days. He says, if you will last until the 1,335th day, 1,335 days, not 1,260, not 1,290, but 1,335 days, there is going to be an incredible blessing for everybody who makes it to the 1,335th day. I wonder what that will be. You'll just have to come back to see that one too. Here we go. Now in Jerusalem, that president, that beast, must address a problem he's got. And that's two witnesses. He's in his newly captured city of Jerusalem, a few days out from the 1,260 days that these two witnesses have been allowed to witness, but they're still invincible. Well, in just a few days, their mission is over. And on the last day of their mission, the president, the beast, will be able to kill them. People all over the world will see their dead bodies in the Jerusalem streets, and joy will break out. Joy will break out in worldwide happiness. In fact, they make it a worldwide holiday, and they send gifts to everyone because the two witnesses are dead. Whew. Do you realize just a few years ago, the whole world couldn't see those two witnesses dead for 3 days? Now we can see it in about 7 seconds. Somebody will have their iPhone or cell phone out there, and they'll be videotaping it, and they'll post it to Snapchat or to Facebook. And somebody will see it, and the world will see it. That video will go viral. Can't you imagine all those people at CNN that are watching that in amazement because none of them were snatched away at the time of the Lord? Or over in MSNBC or whatever it is. They're so happy. There's joy. They're popping them poppers. They got firecrackers going. They're and all those type of things we do. Enjoy. Oh, my celebration. However, it's kind of like the stock market. About the time you get happy about something, just wait. Something's going to come along to make you sad. 3 1/2 days later, the two witnesses come back to life. They stand on their feet, and everyone in the world sees them come back to life, and they see them resurrected. In fact, not only that, great fear grips into their heart. When you've seen two witnesses dead, lying on the ground for 2 1/2 days, and you think everything is okay, and then behold, they're beginning to stinketh in the heat, and they rise from the grave. I'd be a little fearful myself. But I'm not going to be around. I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven. I'm inviting every one of you to be with me also. You better be ahead of the line of me. I'm drawing up the rear end, okay? I'll be there. Great fear grips them, and an earthquake, when their feet leave the ground, an earthquake shakes the city of Jerusalem, and 1/10 of the population dies. That's approximately 7,000 people die that are there living in Jerusalem. The remaining 63,000 Jews in the city will see this miracle, and they will believe the message of the witnesses and will give glory to God. Finally, after hundreds of years since the Lord's ministry, the hearts of the Jewish people will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they see those witnesses rising up in the air, the scripture says, lift up your heads. You know that scripture? At the end of the first 3.5 years, Israel will finally lift up her head because her redemption draweth nigh. I know y'all like that verse for you as Christians, but that verse is a promise to Israel that finally, when they have turned their hearts to the Lord and have decided they will do a solemn assembly before the Lord, they will lift up their heads because their redemption is drawing nigh. Well, with that, it's time for the Great Tribulation to begin. We're at the 3.5-year mark. We're going to go into the Great Tribulation. What does that mean? That means that there are 1,260 days on the clock exactly until the Battle of Armageddon. There's no wishy-washy in that. It's 1,260 days. Well, do you know what's going to happen next? Come back next week and we'll talk about that. All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study your plan for eternity that you have put in place. In your name, amen and amen and amen. Go ye therefore and try not to sin before 1:00.